One word on the parasha. Parashat Shemot. Moshe Rabbeinu was commissioned to take the Jewish people out of Egypt. And then and he balks in the beginning. He says, no, he gives excuses. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Ve'en lo ya'aminu li. They're not going to believe me. So God says, Mazze bi'adecha. He says, Mate. Take the stick and throw it on the ground. Ve'in nahash. Turn into a snake. And then all of a sudden he says, take your hand and put it in your pocket. He takes it out. Ve'ine yado mesurat kashalek. His hand becomes all filled with leprosy like snow. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, put your hand back in your pocket. He takes his hand out again. And his hand is like it originally was. Ve'ine nirpa, it's healed. And then he tells Moshe, take some water. Take it out of the river, and it turns into blood. Those are the three signs. Take water from the river and put it on the ground, and it'll turn to blood. When it came to the first two signs, he turned the stick into a snake, and then it went back into a stick. His hand turned into leprosy, then it came back to a hand. When it came to the third sign, it stayed blood. He doesn't say, now take the water, throw it back, and turn into water. No, the third sign already stayed blood. There has to be a remez in the three signs. There has to be a symbolism in these three simanim. Stam, there's a turn into steak and the leprosy. There has to be a limud, stomach, who's not making these simanim for nothing. And if the Torah is writing it, there must be a lesson for us, because the Torah is for the generations. So there has to be something practical we can take out of this this subject as well. Where's the Chumash? There's a phenomenal chidush, not in this week's parasha, but a couple of weeks ago, oddly enough, in a sefer that we don't learn enough, because we think it's beneath our dignity to learn it, but it's the Me'am Noez. Absolutely. That's my point. It's a great sefer. You got to read it. You got to see it. Over there, it tells you all the chidushim. Today they explain the Me'am Noez in many languages. They have it in Hebrew, in English, in Spanish. So anyway, it says over here, if you remember in Parashat Biketz, that's when the brothers came down to Egypt. When Yosef reveals himself to the brothers. So what does it say in the Pesukim over here? The Pesuk says something to the event. Let's read these pesukim over here. Ve'lo yachol Yosef letapek, ve'yiten et kolo bebchi, ve'yomer Yosef, ani Yosef, ta'od abichai. Wow. So that's what he says, basically. He says, Ani Yosef Aoda Bihai. And he says, go get your father, bring your father over here. I'm going to tell daddy I'm going to support him, I'll take care of him. We've got another 5 years of famine. And you see, what does that mean? You see that my mouth is talking to you. As she says, you see that it's me. You see that I'm Mahu like you when you see I'm talking Lashon HaKodesh. So the Ma'am Lo'ez asks, what does it mean when he says, V'ine enechem ro'ot, V'ine ahi Binyamin? Why does he put Binyamin in a separate category? He should just say, and all of you see, ואינכם כולם רואים שאני יוסף. הנה המילה, ואני מדבר בלשון הקודש. So what does he have to say? והנה עיניכם רואות, ועיני אחי בנימין. Understand? You remember when the brothers are going home, and then Yosef says, hey, where's my gavia? Where's the goblet? He says, oh, go bring them back. Go bring these guys back. Go bring them back. They say, hey, you took the goblet. He says, why do we take the goblet? We returned the money. You didn't even ask us for the money that we found. We returned it. Now we're going to steal the goblet? Make all the kavah homer as you want. Bottom line, where's the goblet? From a kavah homer, you don't find the goblet. So they say, okay, listen. The one that the goblet is found in is satchel. That's the one who'll be the Eved. It's finished. So they start by Hapes. Begadol Echel Bakaton Kila. And all of a sudden they find it in Binyamin's bag. What's the next pasuk say after they find it in Binyamin's bag? So Yosef says, oh, that's it. Everybody go home. Binyamin, you be the slave. What's the next pasuk say? Yigash elav Yehuda. Yehuda goes berserk. He says, what's going on over here? What's going on over here? I'll destroy the whole city. I'll destroy the whole country. You're playing games with us. This is a setup, and so on and so forth. Yehuda comes along and he asks himself a simple question. I understand why Yehuda is fighting, because he guaranteed Binyamin. Now, Binyamin's no pushover, correct? Binyamin's one of the Shevatim. They're all Giborim. They're all warriors. You understand or not? You know what I'm saying? They're warriors, each one of them. The grandchildren of Yaakov are warriors. The deaf grandchild of Yaakov was able to kill Esav. So could you imagine what the Shevatim were? Shimon and Levi at 12 years old were able to take on the whole city of Shechem. How come you don't find Binyamin saying anything over here? He's the one that is getting indicted. I knew. What do you mean you knew? I knew already Yosef. He knew his brother Yosef. Okay, then it's Nabi Hanan Yama Kashi Amir, Asabar Kazbin Israel, it's a great class, Rani. Beautiful. Azak Baruch. Okay, if you have a Kabbalah like that, I accept the Kabbalah. Okay, I accept. So I have nothing else to say. If that's the answer, I have nothing else to say. All right, we'll just say one other hadush. We'll say something else, okay, just to be yotzeh, just to be yotzeh. The coffee shouldn't be a barakah lebatalah. We'll say one idea. So what does it mean? What does it mean? Binyamin, what are you talking about? Your brother, you don't know your brother, you know it's your brother. Let's say he doesn't know it's his brother at this point. The guy's coming and saying, you stole the gaviyah. But you don't have a mouth? Yehuda, I understand. Yehuda is on the hook. He has to scream his head off. No problem. But Binyamin, hey, Rabotan, it wasn't me. I don't know what's going on. It's a ruse over here. They set me up over here. I'm going to steal the... And especially the Midrash says the brothers started to beat up Binyamin. They started to beat him up. They said, what are you doing to us over here? It says. They started to throw rocks in between his shoulders. And what's Binyamin saying? Tani Tibur. What do you have to say for yourself? He doesn't defend himself. Say, I don't know what's going on over here.
Say something, not now. Thank you.
No, say. I'm a,
say.
No.
Aha.
Listen, I cannot deny what Rabbi Rahamim is saying. I cannot deny anything he said so far today. Because everything he's saying is kosh divrei emet. But now we have to develop it. He didn't say anything wrong today. The emet didn't say anything wrong. He's giving him a hard time because that's what we have to do. We have to give him a hard time. To see if he sticks by his guns. He didn't move the guy. Normally a regular guy would have surrendered. Yeah, okay, I, he didn't even back out. He didn't back out. He's good. I'll get him next time, don't worry.
It's
always next time you get the guy to back out. Then he said, you were right, what'd you back out for? He doesn't back out the guy.
So the Ma'am Lo'ez says, incredible. Ma'am Lo'ez says that before this whole revelation, Yosef, when Binyamin came down, he called him in for a private meeting. And he says, listen, you Jews, he's telling Binyamin, you Jews, I know you know a lot of astrology and stuff like that. And I know you have traditions on astrology and how to read stars and stuff like that. He says, yeah, I have a book on astrology. Could you know how to read this book? So he opens a couple of pages. It's Binyamin. He says, yeah, this book we know how to do. This is easy stuff. We have a tradition from our father. He taught us all the astrology. He says, good. But I know your brothers came down to Egypt. And they're talking about the brother that they lost, Yosef. They mentioned that they're looking for him. They mentioned many times that our brother died. We have a brother that we lost. He says, Yosef, he's telling Binyamin, I'm aware, because they have spies, that they went to every gate. Each one went to a different gate to look where Yosef was. They're asking about their brother. We have intelligence on these guys that they're looking for their brother somewhere in Egypt. Are you aware of that? He says, I'm aware of it. I just came down now. I don't know aware of anything. I don't know that. He says, well, you, using this book, could you locate where Yosef is? Could you locate him? Could you locate where this guy is? So he opens the book. He goes this way, he goes that way. He says, listen, I don't know what to tell you. According to the book says that the guy Yosef is sitting right next to me. That's what the book says. He says, the book says Yosef is sitting right next to you? He says, that's what it says. He says, okay, the book doesn't lie. He tells Binyamin and Yosef.
100%
right.
I
get the details, don't worry about the details. Details are not the point. Details make it sweet. The main is the hadush, the point. Rashi doesn't say any of this. I'm coming here to tell you Perush Rashi. I'm coming to tell you Perush Rashi that we came to say over here. Perush Rashi is supposed to know before you come here.
No, I knew it was coming.
Perush Rashi says this. So he comes along, and he says, wow, that's Yosef. Okay, that's Yosef. He says, listen, the brothers over here already have strike two on them. Strike three, they're out. So Gemara Yoma says, on the first Avon, Hashem is Mochem. On the second Avon, Hashem is Mochem. On the
third Avon already, that's already enough. Ma'avir Rishon Rishon. Ma'avir Rishon Rishon. The first two, they give you a bye. But you commit the same sin the third time?
Please
press your eyes. So he says, listen, already the brothers have shown sin'ah towards their siblings. Siblings is their brothers. What did they do to the B'nai Shepachot? They were tough on the B'nai Shepachot. Gad, Asher, Dan, Naphtali, B'nai Bilha v'Zilpah, the brothers were giving them a hard time. It says they were giving them a hard time. They were mizalzel b'nei b'nei Shepachot. So that's the first time. And then they sold their brother, they sold me. Now we're going to test them the third time. If already they do it a third time, the same avon, then God has to do something because I'm not going to forgive them and they have a different program and then it's in Hashem's hands. So what is it you're going to do? He tells Yosef. He tells Binyamin. Yosef tells Binyamin. I'm going to take the Gabiyah and I'm going to put it in your satchel. He told them. Don't get nervous. Don't get nervous. I'm telling you now, putting it in your satchel. And therefore, let's see if the brothers sell you down the river. Maybe the brothers will tell the king of Egypt, all right, listen, you caught the guy. Allah ma'ah, you're Binyamin, good luck. Enjoy prison. We'll come visit you. When's visiting hours? When's visiting hours over there? That's it. I'll come to visit him once every 3 years in Shemitah. I'll come visit him. They give him some sambusa. That's it. Finish. And I'll go back home. Guess what Yosef's looking. If they do that, that's strike three, you're out. So Binyamin knows everything that's going on over here. Binyamin doesn't have to react. He knows the whole story. So what happens? All of a sudden, this is acting. This is drama now. This is charades. All of a sudden, Yosef says, who took the Gaviyah? They're reading a script. Who took the Gaviyah? Said Yosef. And then you get to the next one. What do you say? And Binyamin, they're winking at each other. They're winking. Good one. That's a good one. And anybody, who took the Gaviyah? Binyamin says, I don't think the Gaviyah. All right, let's check. I open up Binyamin's thing. Oh, you crook, Binyamin. You're a shy. All of a sudden comes Yehuda. Take us all as slaves. We'll all be slaves. Let Binyamin go back to his father. We're not interested. Yosef says, no, Chas v'Shalom. You all go home and keep your Binyamin. Also, Yehuda says, you're playing games with us now? If you don't let Binyamin go back, I'll take the whole Egypt and I'm going to turn the place upside down. We'll go to Tahrir Square and we'll make riots and we'll go crazy. We'll burn the city down. Now what are you going to do to us? All of a sudden, the brothers are straight. How come Benjamin doesn't talk? He doesn't talk. He's shy. He doesn't want to talk. He doesn't talk because this is the whole test. This is the whole test. He knows what's going on over here. He's saying, Baruch Hashem, they didn't strike out. They're hitting the ball. They're making contact. Baruch Hashem, this is the last pitch. All of a sudden, when Yosef finds out, at this point over here, that the brothers were mitaken the sin, so now he comes along and says, Ani Yosef, he can reveal himself. And what does he say? He says, and you see, what's the lashon of the pasuk? Be'enechem haro'ot. You see, ve'ene Binyamin achi. Why does he have to split them up? Because you're seeing it now. Ve'ene Binyamin achi, he already saw it an hour and a half ago. So from the fact that you see the Torah separated, if you see that the revelation between the brothers and Yosef and the brothers and Binyamin and Yosef happened at two separate times. Now, I had another question on this Me'am Lo'ez I'm going to answer today. It's unbelievable. Most people don't know what Me'am Lo'ez. I mean, it's an amazing blockbuster Hindus trivia question. Binyamin knew the whole time that it was Yosef. Why couldn't he just tell him? Why couldn't he just tell him, Ani Yosef? What do you got to tell him? Do you read astrology? You know how to read astrology? Look in the book. Where is the guy? Is it, what do you need this whole... astronomy lesson. Let him just tell him. Let him just tell him. Yeah, I need Yosef. Understand the questions? Let me make the whole thing. So a simple answer, Rabotai. If you remember, the brothers made a harem that nobody could reveal where Yosef is. Nobody could reveal it. Nobody could talk. There's a harem. This story they put in a black box. They said it's confidential, it's sealed. They put CIA, FBI, confidential with all this. They can't talk. And Yosef was part of this. Yosef was part of the harem. So he cannot tell Binyamin, I mean Yosef, because he breaks the harem. Understand? So he's got to say, do you do astrology? I'm going to say nothing. I do astrology. Oh yeah, I do astrology. He didn't tell him Yosef.
No.
No, it's closed. The story's closed. The story's... No, he cannot. He cannot. No, he cannot. That's a closed book. You cannot reveal yourself. You cannot reveal... Unless you reveal yourself to the brothers. To the brothers, they're part of the harem. The brothers are part of the harem. So when he tells the brothers, I knew Yosef, they know that's the group. Which is, it's close to the group. But Binyamin's not part of the group. Binyamin's the outsider. Binyamin wasn't there. So he cannot come and tell him, hey, I'm Yosef. Quiet program of it. So therefore he has to figure out a way how to tell it to him without telling it to him. So you read astrology? Yeah, okay. Where is he? Where's the guy? He's sitting next to me. You're getting hot. You're getting warm. You're getting... Shalom Aleichem. I didn't say it. You said it. You know how you do it? I didn't tell you. You figured it out yourself. You know how we play that game? When we want to talk Lashon Hara, but we don't want to say the guy's name. So we give the guy 87 hints till it's beyond the shadow of the doubt. The guy says, you mean it's that guy? I didn't say nothing. I didn't say nothing. You said it. I didn't say nothing. You might have gave the guy every hint in the way. Showed him a picture. This guy. I didn't say nothing. You said it. I don't. Well, if he asks you, I didn't say nothing. Exactly. First initial, last initial. Where's the guy? I didn't say nothing. So that's what Yosef does over there. Just to get around the technical problem of, you know, I'm Yosef, and all, you don't want to get involved with that story over there, because really he cannot reveal himself. Otherwise, why did he send a message to his father? I'm Yosef, and he was not allowed to send a message to his father, because there's a confidential clause on this over here, so he cannot even say anything to his father. Bediuk. He can't even send his father a postcard. Dad, all is well, I'm in Egypt. That breaks the harem. So just like he can't tell Yaakov and Yosef, he can't tell Benjamin and anybody that wasn't party to this is not privy to this information. Anyway, that's the story, why he had to do such a thing. Okay, beautiful. That's very nice. But what does it say? Chachamim saying that as a result of the sin of the sale of Yosef, they needed to go down to Egypt. They needed a tikkun for that. I mean, that's why it says, Vayered Mesraima, Anusapia Dibur. The Dibur over here was the Dibur of the Yosef, of the brothers. That Mahloket brought them down to Egypt eventually. God could have got the Jewish people down to Egypt in many ways. But it came down that way through the fight. And the Hakamim say that was definitely a tikkun for the Avera that they did in Mesraim. Good, selling yourself. Now they come down to Mitzrayim. They come down to Mitzrayim. Not only didn't they make a tikkun for that avera, but they were concerned because if you remember in the beginning of Yesiat Mitzrayim, in the beginning there, Moshe Rabbeinu kills the Egyptian, and all of a sudden they rat him out. Oh, you're still making the Avera, you're still going. Which means now already, he says, now I understand, Achenu Da Davar. They came down to Egypt to fix this Avon of the Sin'ah and all that stuff. And now all of a sudden, I see they're still playing games with each other there. So it's a trouble. It's a trouble. So now God comes to Moshe Rabbeinu, and he comes to him in the burning bush. He comes to him in the burning bush, and it says it was a snare, and the snare has thorns in it, and it's burning and burning and burning, but it doesn't get consumed. And everybody's trying to understand what's the symbolism. So some say because the snare represents Egypt, so God says, I'm going to reveal myself in a thorny place to show that I'm with the Jewish people in their suffering. God doesn't reveal to Moshe Rabbeinu in on a lounge. He reveals them in an uncomfortable place to show if the B'nai Yisrael are uncomfortable, I'm also uncomfortable. Some explain that no, a deep understanding. Moshe Rabbeinu is telling Borei Olam, when he sees the snare of Enu Ochal, he says, I don't understand this. I don't understand this phenomenon. Madua lo yivad asneh. Doesn't make sense. That the light, the fire is there, and the snare doesn't understand Enu Ochal. So the Mefarshim learned a great lesson that Borei Olam is teaching Moshe a lesson over here. The snare represents the Rishayim. The thorns represent the Averot, the Rishayim, the Shkotzim, Ubarkanim. And what does the fire represent? The fire represents the Shekhinah, the fire represents the Neshama. He was telling Moshe Rabbeinu, learn the lesson that even the worst Rasha, even if he has kutzim and zeh, impossible for the ish to consume. Which means the ish will never consume the rasha. That means even where the rasha is, there'll always be a spark to his neshama. There'll always be the or. You would expect maybe where the rasha is, there's no more light. Maybe you're just going to see burnt thorns, and it'll burn it off, and the fire will go out, and the thorns will go out, and after 2 minutes, nothing's left. Not the fire, and not the thorns. Go to a thorn bush and light it. What happens after 10 minutes? There's nothing left. Not a fire, and not thorns. Correct? It consumes. Once there's no more thorns, there's no more fuel. There's no more fuel, there's no more fire. It goes away. And here, Moshe Rabbeinu is seeing something, that the thorns are still there, and the fire is still there. So he's saying that means even at the time that a person has a lot of averot, still the neshama is still there. There's a spark. Tomeret, even though the Jewish people are making averot, and even though they're in Egypt and under the 49th level of tum'ah, him bebchinat sneh, abal yesh yam esh, v'ma esh hazeh, v'yichudim la'azor b'tshuva. Don't think that the ash was consumed. The ash doesn't get consumed and the snare doesn't get consumed. You can never consume the rasha. The ash will not let the rasha get consumed, which means he can make teshuvah. Not only they can make teshuvah, they can make teshuvah on the worst averot. Even for the averot that brought them down to Egypt, even if they're on the 49th level of tum'ah, they don't have to worry. Exactly. There's no you. Let them make the teshuvah and finish. Now, even to Moshe Rabbeinu, it was a big hadush. Even Moshe Rabbeinu said, wow, even Ad Kedekach, 49th level of Tum'ah, Borei Olam, you can make the teshuvah. That's a big hadush to Moshe. Even Moshe Rabbeinu says, Madu alu yiv'ar esneh. That's already, wow. Ad Kedekach, teshuvah. Okay, teshuvah, maybe for a guy has Abirah too, no problem. But a guy who's mamash, racham, and ushah, you tell me you can be on level 49. So he says, listen, Moshe Rabbeinu tells God, hey, no, ya'aminu. They're not going to believe me. If I myself didn't believe it, I myself needed to be taught this hadush. Now I'm going to go tell B'nai Yisrael, don't worry, make the teshuvah, and don't worry, that's fine. You're okay. Hey, no, ya'aminu. They're not going to believe me. They're not going to understand that teshuvah could be made on such low levels that even the snare has a bo'er ba'esh? Who's going to believe such a thing? This is already hadush gadol. So Borei Olam says, I could forgive the first avera, I could forgive the second avera. So long as they don't commit the third avera, then already there's no hazakah yet. By and large, the Jewish people in Mitzrayim, besides that aberration of Datan ba'Aviram, which we know they were the Sha'im from, but one of the things they had, Oshin Shemam, Neshonam, it was a certain Ahdut that they had in Egypt. We see they had Ahdut, there was no assimilation, they kept to themselves. There was a certain, even we read at the end of the parasha with the Shotrim got hit for Bnei Israel, which means the Shotrim were taking beatings from the Egyptians to protect their fellow, which is an amazing thing. The Shotrim at the end of the parasha, the Egyptians put Shotrim, fellow meaning Haverim. הם לקום מכות בשביל העברים שלהם. ויוקו השוטרים. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, tell the people the following lesson. Take your stick and throw it on the floor, turn to a snake. The stick is something that's straight. It's yashar. That represents somebody that's straight. A stick, a stick. He brought them. Now throw it on the floor. What happens to the stick? Exactly. That represents the crookedness, the avirot. Nice straight, he makes avirot. What does God tell Moshe Rabbeinu? Pick up the snake, boom, it comes back a stick. You can make the shubah. You can make the shubah. Itakam taksat, al tidak. Chutz b'snavo, v'zeh yashar od pa'am. You were born straight, but you became crooked. What's the problem? Teach them this. Show them this, because this you're going to give them a lesson in Hilchot Teshuvah now. This is not some magic tricks. What, 101 the magic tricks? 101 card tricks now, where you can play the shell game with them? He's coming on to teach them Musar. So the people are going to come along and say, okay, but what about a person, Mamash, who's really a Baal Abira? Okay, guy, I'm crooked a little. There's some Averot that the Gemara says, the guy becomes Rasha, and the Gemara says, Rasha Hashuv Kamet. Rasha Hashuv Kamet. Rasha is a man, the guy's out. Borei Olam says, no problem. Put your hand in your pocket, and take your hand out of your pocket. That even if you get to the level of Mitzora Hashuv Kamet, now put your hand back in your pocket, ain't nothing. No more. So now already you're teaching them even to such a level, Borei Olam will forgive you. However, the third time he told them, take the water out of the pond, the river, and throw it on the ground and it turned red. There it didn't come back. It didn't come back. Oh, so there he's saying strike three. So the Gemara says, Borei Olam says, the first two times I could forgive, but the third time already that starts the hashbon. So that's one interpretation why the third one didn't turn back into water. Because there's strike three already. Strike three already, you have to deal with. The first two, don't worry about it. On me, Borei Olam, I pick up the bill of the first two. So therefore, you don't have to worry so much, tell them. No, Borei Olam is Rahman. But the deeper interpretation is Borei Olam saying that he's giving them the secret of Teshuvah. Ech osim Teshuvah. It's very difficult to make Teshuvah when you're alone. When you're alone. Kishadam biyachid bebeto. First of all, he doesn't even know he has averot when he's alone. Sure. Because of Hoshev Shu Tzaddik. When do you realize you're not so good? When you start coming to shul and you see everybody religious, praying, this guy's shaking, this guy's learning, this guy's a book in his hand, this guy's nowhere. He said, wow, I thought I was the most religious guy. Because I don't turn channels on Shabbat. He only turns volume up and down, but I don't turn channels. He thought the guy's Hasid. He thought he's... Because he only eats salad when he goes out. He only eats bugs when he goes out. He doesn't eat other things. Bidiyuk. So when does the person realize his inadequacies? When he comes to the people, when he's with the people. All of a sudden he starts coming with the people. He says, what is it? There's a world out there. Yesh Anashim, Lomdim, Ashati Sharit Tzadik. All of a sudden he comes to the Bet Knesset, he says, Etre Tefillah. קוראים תיקון הכללים, מה זה תיקון הכללים? מה קוראים אלו? אנשים אומרים, כן, תיקון עוונות וזה, עוונות. לא ידעתי שיש דבר כזה, I didn't know this, עוונות, I didn't know nothing. These guys are tzaddikim, they're wearing two tefillin, they're reading תיקונים. So the guy gets all flustered. So it's very important, the prerequisite to teshuvah is, you have to be with the sibur. When you have a hevra, so the hevra keeps you kosher. Especially now you're part of the hevra, all of a sudden you don't show up one day. The hevra says, hey, where are you? Ah, now he's stuck, he has to come back. But if a guy doesn't show up, he's off the radar, he's off the map. You always have to be concerned. When people come along and say, I want to go alone, I want to be alone, I want to live alone, I want to see nobody. Okay, for 1 or 2 days vacation, no problem. But when a person says, where are you running? What avera did you commit? What avera did you do that you don't want to be in the havra? I don't want anybody to see me. Shalom HaMelech says, "L'ta'avay yivakesh nifrad." If a person wants to be alone, the bishul ta'avot shelo. L'ta'avay yivakesh nifrad. Why would you hear the people? They come along. I don't want to live in the community anymore. Why? Why not? What's the matter with the community? I want to go live over there in Jiddisville. I want to go live in the Balad, in the Na'ir. Why?
Too much pressure.
Nobody sees me over there. I walk at the building. I do whatever I want. I mean, when you walk in the city, nobody knows who you are. You're part of a whole... Nobody sees you. Here, a guy comes out of his house on his 3rd Street on Shabbat. All the neighbors are sitting on the porch. Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom. He's caught, he got stuck. Bediyuk. Oh, he could pull it out, but he's embarrassed when he pulls it out. Bediyuk. Jokes. Bediyuk. Bediyuk, of course. You understand what I'm trying to say? So living in a community keeps a person in check to a certain degree. He can't go nuts, the guy. He has to stay this. So you always have to be careful. When everybody comes along and says, I want to go, where are you going? Already, he didn't do any avarot. Once you separate from the kelal, kafar ba'ikar. They're telling you the end. That's the end. Kafar ba'ikar. Why kafar ba'ikar? I'm moving there. We have a minyan. We have this. We have that. Kafar ba'ikar. Finish. You're out. You're separated from yourself and the community. Kafar ba'ikar. That's what Pesach says. No, we're doing it because it is going to stay in the community. The community is Kodesh. The community is a holy institution. When you have yeshivot around you and synagogues and mikvaot and centers and people and family, you know, all that is a key item. And even if he doesn't make teshuvah today, it's going to eventually hit him. He's in a svivah. Eventually it's going to hit him. If it doesn't hit him today, it'll hit him tomorrow or next year or the year after. Eventually, look what's happening to our community. Shalem Yisrael. Just for the fact that the people are living here, now they fell into a class, and they fall into shul, and there's rabbanim all over the place. Something happens, and they call the rav now, and the rav gets involved. You're involved. It's a big thing to live in a community. I don't underestimate what I'm saying. So Moshe Rabbeinu is telling Am Yisrael, you can make the shuvah if you're a snake. You can make the shuvah if you're mitzurah hashuv kamet. But once you separate from the water, and you want to be alone, and you take the water and you put it on the yabasha, then it's dam. V'ze lo yafoch lemayim. Ze lo yafoch. It won't come back then. You separate. What are you separating? The mayim is Torah. The mayim is religion. Is mayim. That's why it's called mayim. You're separating from the mayim, and you want to go to the other areas. Tishair dam. Bediyuk. That's a lesson also. In Teshuvah, that Moshe Rabbeinu said, as long as As long as there's Ahdut in Am Yisrael, and there's a camaraderie, and there's they're living together. They're living together. Always the tradition was, there was always the ghetto, there was always the Harat al-Yahud, where the Jewish people had, where they lived. There was no such thing in any countries that we lived in that the Jew lived the Goyim section. Although they lived neighbors with the Goyim. But they had the Hajj. They had the area where the Jews were living. And the Gemara is very strong on that. Oh. Bring me my we have a rakot. Look what the Gemara says. Gemara says something incredible. Gemara says in Gemara Berachot Daftet. Gemara says that there's a special tefillah that the travelers make. When the travelers travel, so they have to make a tefillah. It's called the Tefillah of Ovrei Derachim. And since they're traveling, they really can't pray a full Tefillah. So no, they have to, not Habinenu. That's the Habinenu. This is about a guy who's traveling. We cannot pray because he's traveling on the road. So the Gemara gives us a prayer that he's supposed to make. No. He's traveling on the road in a Shat Sakana. Exactly. So because of that, he cannot pray the Amidah. He can't even pray Habinenu. Because it's Sakana. So the Gemara says they allow him to pray a shortened version. It's not even Amidah. It's a Tefillah. Okay, I'm going to read you the Tefillah. So let me find the Mishnah. And I'll read you the tefillah. Here's Habinenu. Very good. Okay. Let's see where the tefillah is. So the tefillah goes like this. Let's find the tefillah first, Rabotai, so we don't make any mistakes over here. Oh. One second. Give me 1 second to find the Mishnah. It's in the first Perek. I thought it was on Daftet. Why did I think it was on Daftet? It's on Daf Zion. Anyway, the Tefillah goes like this. The Tefillah goes as follows. Pasuk says like this: "Bechol parashat ta'ibur yehu sorchehem lefanecha." As you're praying on the road, you want to pray to Borei Olam. So it says, "Bechol parashat ta'ibur." Literally, it means at the crossroads. "Bechol parashat ta'ibur." when I get to the crossroads and I'm traveling, the needs of the person should be in front of him. Ki isha ubra, like a lady that's pregnant. I mean, just like you answer a lady that's isha ubra, that's giving birth, so to yehe kol surchehem nefanecha. Beparashat ha'ibur, so Rashi says, maze parashat ha'ibur? I explained to you parashat ha'ibur means crossroads, but it's really not a crossroad. Crossroad is parashat derachim. Parashat derachim is called the fork in the road. This says, bechol parashat ha'ibur, yihyu surchehem nefanecha ki isha ubra. So the Mefarshim explained, Rashi says, Beshat ha'ibur melashon avera. So, bechol parashat ha'ibur, that even though I'm traveling on the road now, when you travel on the road, it's sakana. And hat v'shalom, when there's sakana, the avirot of a person, they haunt him. So therefore, we were praying at that moment, bechol parashat ha'ibur, that even though yes, avirot she'asiti, what Elam should answer us? Ki isha ubra. Like a lady who's pregnant. Like a lady who's pregnant, what? What does it mean, like a lady that's pregnant? What does have to do one thing with the other? So explanation is like this. When the guy's on the road, what does he do on the road? When he has sakana, by the way, he says, Chatati aviti pashati. The parashat ha'ibur, he remembers his averot, and he says, Uli, maybe because I made averot yesterday when I was young, maybe I'm asu shakana. When he's on the plane, all of a sudden it starts to shake a little. Oh, what happened? Parashat ha'ibur. He's worried about parashat ha'ibur, he's worried about the averot. But what are you comparing it to? Like a pregnant, like a lady that's giving birth. Isha ubra. Remember yesterday we learned something incredible? Yesterday we learned that when the child is born, they make him make a shivua before he's born. Te'et tzaddik, ve'al te'et rasha, and even if the whole world tells you you're a tzaddik, don't believe them, they're false flattering you, what happens when a lady gives birth? She has to bring a korban. She has to bring a korban hatta. The Gemara asks, why did she have to make a korban chatat? She made a avon for having a baby? Not only for a baby girl. Even a baby boy, she has to make a korban chatat.
No. Yeah.
Which means it doesn't matter. The husband will say, yeah, she had a girl. That's why she has to make a korban chatat. No. Even a baby boy, she has to make a korban chatat. The question is why? Bidiyuk. When the baby is born and she's suffering in the labor, besides all the curses she gives her husband, you're not going to touch me again. I'm not going to the mikveh anymore. That's it. Go away from me. Don't ask me for more children. I'm not having more children. The husband says, okay, calm down. Now. You're in pain. I'm not in pain. Nishma ani b'shma gadol. Finish. No more children. I'm telling you now. After what happens, she gives birth. What happens? After she gives birth, she has harata. She says, look how cute the baby is. He needs a sister. He needs a brother. Who's he going to play with? Too late. You mentioned, wow, you know what you did. We have it on video here. The husband, the modern guys, they video their wife in this. Hamorim. Go video your wife in the bathroom. They're videoing their wife when she's giving birth. So now, they said, what do you mean? We have you on camera. You say, wow, hamura. I'll never have a baby again. So they say, what? Go to the Beit HaMikdash, tabi korban chatat. Chatat ze ala shivua. She nishma'a. And then what happens, ends up happening? She has harata, and she goes back the whole way. But you made a shivua. So we're telling Borei Olam, we're exactly like this pregnant woman. Because what do? B'sha'at sakana, we come along and say, I'll never do it again. I'll never do it again. I'm out. I'm never going to go. I'm never going to look. I'm never going to eat. I'm never going to talk. Finish. מה קורה אחרי שהסכנה עוברת? חוזרים. חוזרים לזה. So we're telling the בורא עולם that even though הגענו לפרשת העיבור ועכשיו אנחנו אומרים we're not going to do it again, but you know that when this passes, it could be we're going to go back, Barbinan. But just like a pregnant lady when she gives birth, forgive us like that. Because that's the human nature. Even though, exactly. That even though it might not be the final teshuvah that we're ever going to make in our lives, but Tisha Obra, she makes a shivuah. And she goes back on the Shavuah. We made a Shavuah when we were born. The Tzaddik. We go back on it from time to time. Even so, give us a... But there's a deeper interpretation. Parashat Ibur, the first mitzvah that we got in Egypt, the first mitzvah, Ha'chodesh Hazeh Lachem, Rosh Chodeshim. And everybody asks, why should that be the first... 613 mitzvot. The first mitzvah, Ahodesh, Azed, Achem, Rosh, Hodashim. Mamad, what's so special about it? There's a deep interpretation. Because again, Am Yisrael, they were grappling with this concept of Teshuvah. They were grappling with it. You're telling me I could be on the 49th level. There could be Kotsim. The Rasha never gets burnt. The Rasha still can exist, and the Neshama is still there, and he can resuscitate himself, and he can turn back into a stick, and the Mitzvah can go away, But this is worse, we're the 49th level! So again, the people did Chizuk right before they left, because Moshe Rabbeinu is telling them, they left on level 49. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, in 50 days we're going to Matan Torah. They're telling Moshe, impossible! It's an impossibility! We're on such a low level. No way we can resuscitate ourselves. This is the biggest problem with the people. They don't believe the Teshuvah. If they would only believe the Teshuvah works, and that's the Yetzirah does. The Yetzirah puts all these ideas in his brain. Ata lo yachol la'azor. Ata kevar avud. Ata kevar miyuash. Ata kevar asita ta'avera elef pa'amin. Arab lo medaber alecha. Arab medaber asam anashim. אילו הרב היה יודע אותך, היה כאן, אתה לא. That's what Yisrael tells you. Yisrael tells the person, not you. You can't make the Shuvah. Only, Rabbi's not talking about guys like you. If you only know what you did, so he wouldn't save you. It's wrong. First of all, I know what you all did. I know what you did. And still what? And still I say you can make the Shuvah. Why? So Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, "Achodesh hazeh lachem, anachnu monim hayarayach." What happened with the yarayach? The yarayach originally was big. It was big. And then what happened to the yarayach? The yarayach tells Borei Olam, "Hey, who's that over there?" "That's the sun." What's he doing over there? What do you need him for? What do you need him for? I'm here. We don't need two kings. You don't need two kings in the same domain. But Allah says, you're right. Lechi v'am'iti et atzmech. Good, you're right. We don't need two kings. Good idea. Two cooks in the kitchen spoils the broth. Good, lechi v'am'iti et atzmech. All of a sudden, with my head. Now all of a sudden the moon got upset. The moon said, ma'aziti. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu bad lefayes et ha-yarayach. Omer lo, becha yimnu Yisrael yamin v'shanim. The Jewish people would account the years and the days according to the moon. So therefore he had a little nechama. Shani gam ken mashi. What's the explanation of it? We follow the moon. To us, we're a religion where the moon is the key. The sun, we don't pay too much attention to. It's vacation. 10 days a year, we pay attention. But besides that, anaruchim le'yareya. Every 28 years you make a big deal of the sun, but in between.
Every 28 days.
It's a moon religion. Mekata Lebanon, everything's Lebanon. Explanation is amazing. What happens is, we follow the moon, you know what, because we can relate to the moon. The sun doesn't change. The sun stays the same. The sun is a Sadiq. Ki shemeshu magen Adonai. The sun, that's the highest level. The sun, well, we can't relate to the sun. You always stay the same. Tamid ata kam neshari, tamid ata olek neshorim, kibwa shemesh, zeno mishtane kol yomze. Every day is a full sun. There's no such thing besides the clouds. Oh, today's half a sun. What's half a sun? The sun comes out, bigmurato, keseta shemesh, bigmurato, kol yom. En shum shinui ligabe shemesh. The shemesh represents the tzaddikim that are, like it says in the pasuk, that atidim the tzaddikim, they're going to come out, ketzet the shemesh begmurato. But most of Am Yisrael cannot relate to such a consistency. She'adam no mishtanev, hamishim shana no ibed zman kiryat shema. Ze shemesh. Constant. But anachnu kumo yareya. Olim v'yoredim bo. Olim v'yoredim bo. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what the sun did, the moon did? From the beginning of time, the moon already made Averot. Eze Averot asa? Kin'ah, kavod, ta'aba. Pit'om, hun nivra, ma omer ha-yaraya? Mize? Ata mekane bo? Kava kin'ah asita. Ma'ar kach? Kavod, ani rotsu liyot ha-melech. Ta'aba beze. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're a very good siman for the Jewish people. Hem no yu kema shemesh. Hem yu kema yaraya. Lefa'im yesh lem kena. Lefa'im yesh lem et ta'ava. Lefa'im yesh lem kavod. Az HaKadosh Baruch Hu omer, b'sha'at ha'avera, l'chi v'meiti et atzmech. L'chi v'meiti et atzmech. Boom, onesh. Aval ma kore lo yaraya? Pet'om, after 2 weeks, חוזר לעצנו הראשון, עכשיו אנחנו רואים שהוא גדול. הירח מלמד אותנו שאדם שאפילו נתמעט, יכול לחזור. הוא יכול לחזור לעצנו הראשון, יכול לעזור למילואה, יכול לעזור. ואחר כך, what happens after the moon is full? עוד עבירות קצת, אבל אל תדע, גם חוזר עוד פעם, וחוזר. כי שבע יפול צדיק וקם, הצדיק יפול שבע פעמים, אז when the Jewish people came out of Mitzrayim, the first halakha that Moshe Rabbeinu teaches them, "Achodesh hazeh lachem," you can make teshuvah. Al tadagu, you're the 49th level. Al tadagu, "Achodesh hazeh lachem." Anachnu bnei yareyach. Anachnu lo bnei shemesh. Al tadagu, it'll take a few cycles. You'll come back. What do we say in the tefillah of the moon? We say in the moon, עטרת תפארת לעמוסי בטן שגם הם עתידים להתחדש. We say the moon is a lesson, מה זה לעמוסי בטן? לאלו שיצאו מבטן אימם. בטן אימם. בגלל אנחנו יכולים, מה עשינו בבטן? עשינו שבועה. אני צדיק. אבל מה קורה לנו? לפעמים כן צדיק, לא צדיק. אז מהירח זה נותן לנו עידוד. עטרת תפארת לעמוסי בטן. שגם הם עתידים להתחדש ולפאר יועצם. השם כבוד מלכותו. So therefore משה רבנו says, this over here, I'm not giving you the lessons of ברכת הלבנה. אני נותן לך הלכות תשובה. And that's what the Gemara means. Becha yimnu Yisrael yamin v'shanim. Which means when the Jewish people look at their days, and they look at their years, ve'omrim al atzman, ma asiti kishayiti yelet, ma asiti. Becha yimnu yamin v'shanim. Hayamin v'shanim shel Am Yisrael yimnu lefi ha'levana ve'lo yityashu. Yagidu kemo sheha yareach nitma'et, aval Chozer. We could relate more to the moon. Now watch. This is what it means in the tefillah. What do we call the Rosh Chodesh? The Rosh Chodesh is called Ibur HaChodesh. Hilchot Ibur. When you open up the sugya, it's called the Parashav Ibur. So that Ibur means the month sometimes has 29 days and sometimes has 30 days. So sometimes we have to know, according to the calculations, how to make the month. So the calculation of Rosh Chodesh is called Parashat Ibur. Ibur is to add an extra day or not to add an extra day. So we come along and we're saying, Bechol Parashat Ibur, which means just like you taught us the lesson of Parashat Ibur Alebana, Yusur Chehem Nefanecha Ki Isha Obrad. Just like the Parashat Ibur teaches us the Anyan of Teshuvah, that a person could always come back, and even if he fell, and the moon falls every month. Ama Makore La Moon, Lechozer Bechol Chodesh. Gamem Atidim Netchadesh Kemota. And therefore, it's a La'atid Labo, it says. Finished. There's not going to be any more averot. Haka katu vaya ola lebana kora hama. Okay, lama? Because this is here by Mashiach. Kishe Mashiach yavo, lo srikhim she ola lebana yigdal vi yiktan. En yesrara vaya ola lebana kora hama. Because then it's always going to be tzaddiki. Then you don't need this lesson. But now this kin'ah, now this ta'aba, now this kavod, like the moon. We can relate to the moon. We say, Mr. Moon, we're in the same boat as you. We also have Kana'at, Ta'aban, Kavod. So the moon tells us, don't worry about it. Gemani Haiti Shama. Aba Baruch Hashem, Kol Chodesh. Ani Goder. Vemsa Chodesh, Ani Kacha. Vegam Hem Atidim, Nitadesh, Kemota, Uparel, Yisra, Baruch Hashem, 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 Kemota,